Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Close Up Talk Radio, the unique internet broadcast series that brings you together with some of the most amazing, important, and interesting individuals from the worlds of business, industry, travel, art, and entertainment. From company owners, CEOs, and presidents, to the technical wizards behind the scenes who create the magic that make their company's products and services so special. Here is your opportunity to hear firsthand the fascinating stories of how it all happened from those who actually made it possible. This is Close Up Talk Radio. Well, hi, everybody. I'm Doug Llewellyn, your host. Nice to have you back here with us on CUTV News Radio today. You know, we talk to people from all kinds of professions and all kinds of works of life that they're involved in, whether they're in business, business executives, whether they're coaches, whatever. Today, we have as our guest a writer, an author, and it's always interesting to talk to an author because, you know, writing books, writing poetry, things of that nature is an extraordinary adventure, and it's not an easy profession. You got to be good in order to write books and then have people want to read them. But our guest, I think, is very good, and she writes about things that are rather in a unique area. Her name is Frankie DeMurrow, and she is the author of a number of self-published novels, each one focused on the subject of reincarnation. One of them is called Deception Past, and it's a novel of past life identity theft, murder, blackmail, and forgiveness. She has another one called Dragonfly Dreams, which is a novel of romance and reincarnation, and then one called Five Flowers. It's a historical reincarnation novel, and each one draws on dreams, premonitions, past life regressions, and memories. I don't know about you, but I must tell you, reincarnation is a subject that intrigues me. Every now and then I talk to people who are coaches or whatever, or who will take you on a past life trip to see what you did in a past life. And the way I understand of it, virtually all of us have had past lives, and they may go thousands of years back. Anyway, it interests me, and it also interests our guest, Frankie DeMurrow. She personally believes in it, but she says you don't have to believe in reincarnation to read her books. There is a working theory that birthmarks come from marks that are made on the body at or around the time of death in a previous life. And when you reach the age that you died in a previous life, you will experience some sort of trauma or illness that will bring up from the unconscious issues of your previous life. Whether you believe in reincarnation or not, they are great structures, great subjects for a novel. Now, our guest has an amazing background. She started writing poetry when she was a young lady, only 15, and she did it out of an emotional need to express herself and her deepest feelings. She grew up in Huntsville, Alabama during the Civil Rights Movement and says she would listen to Dr. Martin Luther King on the radio in her bedroom, much to the dismay of her parents, who were not in favor of the equality that Dr. King sought for everyone. And that is why she's a writer, she says. She's a very sensitive person, very sensitive to others, which is one of the prerequisites, but most importantly, she has something to say. And today she's also published 3 books of poetry, Ripples on the Surface, her earliest collection of poetry, often described as mystical, which we will get her to explain about, all of her poetry books. It's a search for meaning and beauty and harmony in a world of contention and conflict. And Frankie says if there is one thing she hopes readers will get from her writing is compassion and forgiveness. Now, that's a little bit of the background of our guest. It really is a pleasure to have her with us today. I love chatting with writers. Again, her name is Frankie DeMurrow, and she has a great website where you can go to get information on the books, get in touch with her, and I'll give you that as we go along. But let us begin now by getting Frankie on the air with us. Frankie DeMurrow is based in Vancouver, Washington. So, Frankie, good afternoon.
Yes.
How are you? Nice to have you here.
I'm fine, and thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Well, we're more than delighted to have you here. And I have to ask you something, this subject of reincarnation. You know, I think it fascinates everybody. That people don't have to believe in it, obviously, to be fascinated by it. It's such an intriguing subject and an intriguing thought when you sit down and really really think about it. What was it that got you intrigued by this subject of reincarnation?
Well, when I was very young, about 4 years old, I remembered having lived before. I remembered having been an adult, but I couldn't have expressed it that way, of course. But I told my mother about people that I had known and wanted to see them again, and she thought I was making it all up. And I wanted to wear the clothes that I had worn when I was an adult. And I even tore my room apart looking for those clothes, which didn't go over very well. But that's how I got interested. Then as I got older, I didn't forget. I became, I guess, because my mother was so adamant that I was making it up and I knew I wasn't, I held on to those memories. And when I was about 15, I started writing poetry. I started writing in my sleep. So I know it was coming up from my unconscious. I would wake up and find the poems. And then eventually I gradually started to remember the dreams where I was writing. And in each of the dreams, I was in another century and another place. And so that encouraged my belief.
Do you mean to tell me you actually wrote in longhand on paper while you were sound asleep?
Yes, and I did it backwards.
And you did it backwards?
Mirror
what do you
writing.
Mean you did it backwards?
Mirror writing.
Oh, my God, that's intriguing. Wow.
Yeah, the brain is amazing. And that's why I say it was the unconscious doing it.
I have to ask you something else, too. I have interviewed people who, you know, who will take clients on past life regressions, but I don't think I've ever heard someone tell me that they actually physically remembered another life. You know, most people, when they hear a past life regression, they're kind of stunned to hear they may have been alive at such and such a time and what they were doing then. But I'd have never talked to anyone before who actually remembered it. And you remembered at the young age of 4? That
it's
you had had
unusual.
Another life? It's
really
totally
not
unusual,
unusual in terms of the whole world. You're taking it in context of this country or this culture, but the University of Virginia Behavioral Sciences has been researching reincarnation for over a half a century. They started with Dr. Ian Stevenson, who I believe has passed on now, and then Dr. Jim Tucker. And they've written some wonderful books about their studies. They go and they find children who claim to remember having lived before. And they eliminate anyone whose memories are of their own family or someone the family knows, so that they eliminate the children that might have heard about these stories before they claimed to live them. And they do it in a scientific manner, and they've still got thousands and thousands of cases of children where they've documented and found a connection between them and their claimed previous life. And it's just fascinating.
Do you still remember that? I mean, if you remembered it when you're 4, I assume you have not forgotten it, but do you remember that today, that previous life
yes.
you may have lived? You do?
Yes.
Do you have any idea when it was? What time
yes.
period it was?
World War II.
In World War II. Okay, that wasn't so far back. Some
no.
people who have these past life regressions go back hundreds and hundreds of years, right?
Yes. Yes.
So you went back really in this same century that we're living in.
Essentially. And the studies that the University of Virginia has done, there are many children that reincarnate almost immediately or within the year.
Wow, that's pretty fascinating. So
yes.
when you write these books, do you use any of your own information? Where do you come up, and I guess really the question is, what kind of research do you do to write these books on reincarnation, and do you use any of your own personal experiences in the books as well?
Both, yes. Like I said, I've read quite a bit. I've got a collection of books on study of reincarnation and what people claim and theories about it. And I use some of my own dreams and some of my experiences, but I always alter them slightly to fit the story. They have to fit in. For example, Deception Past, the main character, Sand, she follows my timeline. She's not me per se, but her timeline is my timeline. That made it easier for me to write. She grows up in Alabama during the Civil Rights Movement and the early manned space flight. And so I like to bring history in with it.
Well, this is just a very interesting subject to speak of. I want to bring out the fact that one of the things I think that got you to the point of where you're a writer, and as you talked about in your background, that you grew up at the time listening on the radio in your home to Dr. Martin Luther King during the Civil Rights Movement. And I know you said that your parents, who were not in favor of what Dr. King was speaking about, but you were fascinated by him, and that's one of the reasons you became a writer. Is that right?
Yes, because I was going to a school where discrimination was very rampant, and I mean, it was all around me, and he was the only one that was preaching peace. So it made a very deep impression on me, and I'm glad that current movements like Black Lives Matter still look to Dr. King for guidance. So it's important to keep the movement alive within ourselves, because otherwise it's so easy to fall into patterns of intolerance and bigotry, because it's just part of the culture.
Well, what I'm getting at is what kind of influence did Dr. King and his message, what does that have to do, or where does that come out in your writings, or does it?
Oh, it comes out everywhere in my poetry and in my novels, because one of the themes I try to stick to is tolerance.
Okay.
Tolerance, forgiveness, and compassion.
How do you describe your books?
Well, I'm not really sure. They're very much an expression of my own character flaws, because there's some of me in each of the characters. There are even the historical characters that I use in Five Flowers. They're real characters. I use their real lives, but obviously they've been fictionalized to fit the progression of reincarnating from one life to another and having the continual progression of the character, the development of the character. And there's has to be some of me in every one of them. So I'm in all of it.
Let me point out, your books have gotten great reviews. On your website, you have a whole section on the book and reviews. On the book that you're talking about, Five Flowers, one of the reviews here on the website says, and I'm quoting now, Five Flowers by Frankie DeMerle is a beautifully written tale of five women who reincarnate through several lifetimes, from living life as five of King Henry VIII's wives through Whitechapel, England during the days of Jack the Ripper, all the way up to America in the 1960s. And the review goes on to say that so well researched is the history that the reviewer was able to imagine life in the eras in which you placed your characters, traveling back in time, learning what life was like as both a queen and as a hippie. And the reviewer was given a glimpse of what it was like to be a woman in those ages. He says, I love the book, finding myself unable to put it down, and kudos to Mr. Merle for taking on such a fabulous and interesting subject and make it into a story to last through the ages. Highly recommended. That's a great review, and that's just a part of it. There's more. I wanted to bring up what you do as far as research. He's talking about, you're writing about life of five of King Henry VIII's wives, bringing it up to the days of Jack the Ripper and then on way up to the 1960s. That sounds to me like you must have done a lot of research for this particular book. Am I right?
Oh, quite a bit. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I had to have different sources for each of the lives, and go through the lives, because, you know, different books are going to show different aspects. And I wanted to get it right, and I wanted to get a real feel for each of them, and then matching them to who they were going to be in their next life. That was a trick, too, to try to get them right, to get them where they read as character development.
I gather you're an avid reader. Would that be right?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. You gather correctly. I love to read.
Well, you talk about having a Kindle and then going on the Independent Authors Network and downloading a lot of books from there, which is pretty fascinating. And it comes out. You love to read. Do you think that's really necessary? That's something, a quality that a good writer has to have, is the ability and the desire to read other people's work?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes, because, like you say, research. Research has everything to do with it, and research is reading.
Where do you come up with the ideas? Now, you talked about poetry, writing poetry, and you do have several books of poetry that you've written. We're going to talk about that. You talked about writing poetry, actually, at night when you're sound asleep. You didn't know you were doing it. That's a whole other subject. But where do you come up with the ideas for your books? You've got three out now. What do you do to come up with ideas? And the titles? The titles are tough, right?
Well, yeah, it's hard for me to title things. But, well, for one, I still rely on dreams for concepts. I don't write in my sleep anymore, but I dream concepts, and then I write about them. Or I meditate, and that makes things easier for me. I can meditate on a certain subject, and then when I'm done, then I just write.
How long does it take you to typically write a book?
The novel's a couple of years, I guess.
Oh, really? Takes time.
Well, yes, it does. It does, because once you write, it's not just a matter of writing. It's a matter of rewriting and rewriting and rewriting, because you always go back. You always find something else, and I have no doubt there are still some either typos or things I would change if you could go on forever editing. But you have to, at some point, you have to feel like, okay, this is complete.
I know what you mean by that. Going back to the reviews, reviewers, you know, readers commenting on books that you've written, specifically this is in reference to Five Flowers, they say you're a compelling writer, a bewitching voice, an enchanting take on reality. Another reader writes, oh my, you are the best thing since Shirley MacLaine, and I loved her. And then here's another one who says you are an extraordinary, brilliant woman. Your creation of masterpieces you have developed are easy for any reader to enjoy. So, you know, you're getting great comments from readers and obviously a great review from reviewers. These must be compelling books to read. So let's see where we are. You have three books out now, right? Tell me, let's talk a little bit about each one briefly so our listeners can understand what you've written. By the way, let me give your website out, because if anybody's intrigued by this whole subject of what you write, they're going to be interested in going to the website. And the website it's right along the lines of what we're talking about. It's reincarnationbooks.com. Reincarnationbooks.com. That's where you will find all kinds of information on our guest, Frankie DeMurrow, on her books, and on the poetry that she writes. So we talked a little bit about Five Flowers. What about the other books?
Well, Dragonfly Dreams came about. I used to work for the Army as a civilian, the U.S. Army. Mm-hmm. And when I retired, I needed a way to process what I was going through with the retirement. It's just a change of life, a transition. And so I used writing to make the transition. The main character there, the main male character, is retiring from the Army. And again, all the characters are fictional. And it's not really about the Army. You're not going to find anything about how they do things or war plans or anything like that. There's nothing like that in there. It's just about the characters. And the main character, the transition he goes through in having to leave behind his way of life, what he's been doing all his life. And then he meets and rescues a woman from domestic abuse. And there's a romance. And in the process, they pursue where they had known each other in their past lives. And it's really kind of a fascinating journey. I enjoyed it. It took me on a ride.
Well, you know, I guess any writer who is writing, what they're writing has to take them on a ride if it's going to work. That's a really good way to put it. I'm prompted to ask you, at what age did you start writing? You obviously had a career in the military. You were in the military for quite a while. At what age did you start writing these books?
The novel Deception Past, I started in, I started it around 2004, but I finished it and published it, I think, around 2006. I'm not clear. I don't remember. You'd have to look at the copyright date.
Okay. All right. But it was later in life that you started doing this.
Yes.
You weren't a teenager doing this at this point.
No. I had written poetry for years, but I wanted to write a novel. And I'm a person without a degree, without a college degree. I guess I used life to teach me how to go about it. I started writing down basically timelines, memories of my own life and history and what was going on in my life and around me in my life. And I wrote that as a timeline, and that's how that became the main character's timeline in Deception Past. And I used the concept past life identity theft because there's so much identity theft going on in the news and in real life. I thought, well, past life identity theft would be people think that they reincarnated from someone else, and it may turn out that it was actually someone else's past life.
Yeah, I understand that.
Yeah, and so that's what I used for that. And like I said, there's blackmail and murder, and I threw in the whole works. Bigamy.
All of that stuff. Blackmail, murder,
yes, all of that
deception,
stuff.
Reincarnation. It all sounds good. It makes for what sounds like a really good book. Let me throw in a little bit about your poetry. You know, poetry is... To me, I may be wrong on this, but I don't believe poetry is such a big selling subject matter for books these days. I don't know. I could be wrong. You know much better than I do. But
it sells better in Europe.
It does. Well, I'm not surprised at that. What kind of reaction do you get from your poetry? And what is your poetry about?
My poetry is about my feelings. And I use a lot of symbolism because metaphor is poetry. And poetry is feelings. My poetry is kind of unconventional in a sense that I don't use much punctuation. But it still reads. And it's very personal. If you read my poetry, you get to know me.
Does it have to rhyme a lot, or is that not necessary?
I like it, too. It's not necessary, but I like it, too. I like it to have rhythm and rhyme, and I think I've gotten better at that the more I write. Call to Contemplation, my third poetry book, is more regular in that sense, and the book that I'm working on now is far more regular.
What kind of response do you get from people who read your poetry? I mean, does poetry get reviewed by reviewers like books do?
Actually, I've gotten some great reviews on Ripples on the Surface.
Yeah.
one review. I can't quote it, but the essence of it was not ripples on the surface. It was very deep. It went way below the surface.
Well, you know, I'm looking at on your website. There are some reviews here on your website, and one of them says Frankie DeMurrell's poetry collection, Ripples on the Surface, is on first reading, a journey that leads the reader in a broad exploration of deep personal feelings, experiences, and life concepts that connect us to her unique personhood by way of our shared awareness, dreams, longings, and losses. But it was in the second reading I found myself drinking more deeply from the well of the larger thoughts and emotions that unite us all as human beings, with all our hopes, doubts, imperfections, illusions, and unexplored depths. And that is what gave this reader the most to ponder about the message of the book. I mean, that's pretty potent. That reviewer, or reader, was a pretty good writer herself, you know?
Yes, and it's quite an honor to have someone say on the second reading that they actually went back and read it the second time. That's amazing to me. That's great.
And another reader says, Ripples on the Surface, I love this book. You just have a wonderful way of evoking emotion from people. They just made me feel hopeful, sad, sentimental, strong, and inspired. Each piece allows me to envision something new. I have bought your other books and loved each one. It is as if each book takes you to another step higher. Wonderful work. Thank you for the chance to truly read it and enjoy it. So how about that? I mean,
wow.
You should be very proud of those kind of comments. Those are great comments. Hey,
oh,
what are you in the midst of right now? You've written three novels. You've written books on poetry. How about as we speak to you today, what are you in the midst of doing?
Well, I'm writing more poetry. And I have several books started, and it's sort of a juggling act. And I think maybe I've taken on more than I can chew with too many. I have to put something aside. I have one that's a character who's a psychologist set in Portland, Oregon.
Yeah.
And he does past life regressions. After he accidentally discovers that his mother had memories of having sunk on the Titanic. And then each character, each client he takes on has a different story.
Wow,
that sounds
pretty interesting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're almost out of time. Before we leave, I want to ask, have you ever had a past life regression yourself? I know you remember past lives, but have you ever gone to someone to have a past life regression session?
Yes, I have. Yes, I have. And I tell you, there's something else that they do. One of the things that goes on, it accompanies the past life regressions, is they compare your facial structure using software like the FBI uses to identify a subject in an airport or something, Homeland, whatever agency uses it. They use that same software to compare your facial structure to the facial structure of the person in the past life if there's a picture or a death mask available to do that. You know, you go back
That's
far
amazing.
Enough, there's not. And I have had mine matched.
Well, there you go. How about that? Well, look, this has been fascinating chatting with you. I we've run out of time, folks. Our guest has been she's based out in Vancouver, Washington, on the West Coast now. She's no longer in Alabama. She's on the West Coast and loves it out there. And she writes. She's working away, and you can find out more information on her books and where to get them. Obviously, they're all available on Amazon.com, or you can order them through Barnes & Noble and others. And you can go direct to the publisher as well. So go to her website, reincarnationbooks.com, and that's where you'll find out the information on the works of Frankie DeMurrell. Frankie, it's been delightful having you with us. Thank you so much. I found this really amazing. You're an amazing
thank
lady.
Thank you for having me. Thank you, Doug. Thank you.
You are so welcome. And that's it for this edition of CUTV News Radio, everybody. I'm Doug Llewellyn. We'll see you next time. Until then, have a great day. Take care of yourself. Bye for now.